If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I believe God for a miracle.
In the Acts of the Apostles, or what we normally call the Book of Acts, I want you to turn to the first chapter. This is going to serve as our memory jogger, our initial provocative verse. Let me set the stage for you. The Book of Acts is written by the physician Luke, who apparently has some personal relationship with a Roman governor named Theophilus. Because the Roman Empire, in order to govern their world, they created a system of roads, paved roads, that led from the capital city of Rome out to as far as humanly possible. Their empire was also extended into northern Africa, Morocco, places like Libya, which these are places we identify now. It included Sicilia. Sicilia is, if you look at a map, Italy looks like a boot, and Sicily, well, Sicily for you English people, but for us Italians, it's Sicilia. And Sicily is the little island that the boot is kicking. The interesting thing about Sicily is that it was primarily occupied by Africans. And that's why most Sicilians have darker complexion than northern Italians. Northern Italians were more European than southern Italians, because there was this great migration from northern Africa into Europa. It was called back then in the 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th centuries. And it, for some reason, it became a religious as well as political capital. I think it was God's plan to use the area in general and Rome specifically to get the gospel out, because they created roads. They also had a tremendous shipping industry, which allowed their boats to go all over the Mediterranean up into what we would call the English Channel. And, you know, they're from Italy, the world was being traveled and conquered. They don't want you to know that. But, you know, these guys would come over here to these places in the West and conquer nations that were already populated. I mean, how do you come into a place that's already populated and say you're discovering it? You know, they went down into what we call Florida and Central America and just took it from the Indians, just took it. And what makes this so interesting is that Theophilus, through this series of travel and exploration, particularly in their region, Theophilus heard about Jesus. And Jesus is all the way over in an area that we now call the Middle East, but then it was Persia and just the East. And the fame of Jesus spread not over the internet, but through people who would get in boats and go somewhere else. They would get off the boat and somebody would say, "Where are you coming from?" "Man, I'm just coming from Jerusalem." "And this guy walked on the water." "What?" "Yeah. And I hung around with him for a couple of days. And he fed over 5,000 men." And so it just began to go around. And Theophilus heard this, and he had a friend who was a physician. And some theologians believe that Luke was Theophilus' personal physician. We don't know that. We can't validate nor deny. But the fact is they had a relationship. So it appears that Theophilus said, "Luke, do me a favor. Go over into Palestine and find out if these stories about this Jesus is true." And so he goes and he becomes the first investigative reporter. He's the first Geraldo Rivera. And he goes over into that area and he begins to investigate. And he finds out that these stories are true.
We don't know if Luke became a Christian. We know he hung around Paul, and he hung around some significant people. So maybe it did rub off on him, like a lot of us. You know, we just hang around people that are saved, but we ain't really saved. But Luke, he gets a chance to have a gospel. And Luke's gospel is the only one that is written third person, first person. It means he wrote it first person, but he writes it from gathering information. He wasn't at any of these things. Mark's the other one who writes third person, first person, but at least he gets it from Peter, who was there. And Mark's gospel is the first one written, and the rest of them, they get their truths from Mark. Mark's the first one, and then Luke, and then Matthew. And so we call them synoptics because they're all getting it from Mark. And Mark's gospel is only 16 chapters, and Matthew's is 28. And it's like Matthew is a typical preacher. He just adds to the scripture. Whatever makes him feel good, he just adds to stuff and confuses people with the two terms of kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God. And so even today, we're still confused with those terms because much learning doth make us mad. But Luke's gospel is interesting because, number one, it's the only one that's professionally written. Its grammar is correct. There aren't many grammatical corrections to the book of Luke as opposed to Mark's gospel. You're correcting everything with Mark because Mark just writes. Mark's like a high school student trying to do a doctoral thesis. Whereas Luke, and you can even tell the difference, when Mark tells the story about the woman with the issue of blood, Mark says she spent all her money on doctors and got worse. Luke leaves that part out because, you know, he's true to the brotherhood. He ain't going to put down doctors. He just says he just said she spent her money and she wasn't improving, more or less. But he doesn't say on doctors. And so Theophilus, after reading that so-called Gospel of Luke, he now wants a little bit more information, and while the Gospel of Luke is not fully canonized, I think there was some conversation between the two of them and put in the form of a letter. And so now, after Jesus' crucifixion and his death and his burial, Theophilus wants to know what's happening to these people that followed Jesus. And so Luke now wants to share what happened afterwards. So in order for this, the Acts, to be effective, to be believable, he joins himself with some of Jesus's ministers so he could write back to his friend. So when you read here in the King James chapter 1, verse 1, it says, the former treatise, the thing that I wrote to you before, I'm just going to expand on it. You want to know what happened? And he starts to write, he says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. And remember, he's writing this as an informational narrative, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, having seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Remember, Luke's not Jewish. That's like bringing in somebody from Czechoslovakia to write about our independence. While he can give you the facts, he can't give you the passion. And so Luke's giving the facts, and I think the Lord uses Luke to open a door to Gentiles. Because John's a Jew, and he has a gospel. Mark is a Jew, and he's getting it from another Jew, Peter. Matthew is the king of Jews. And so the only gospel that can really be touched by Gentiles is Luke's gospel. So even then, God is trying to reach out to bring people in who are not connected by Abraham. He's a good God. And then he says, He begins to tell what happens and says, and being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, saith he, you have heard of me, which you have heard of me. So again, Luke is trying to tell this man, after Jesus dies and gets up, he commissions them to wait at Jerusalem for the promise. Remember, he's reading this, writing this thing just for information for his friend. He said, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. And when they therefore were come together, here's what they do. Now see, this is a beautiful, beautiful story in as much as it explains and exposes what we really seek after. Jesus has died. Jesus was buried. Jesus gets up. He gets up in full glory and power. He looks different. He talks different. He still has the scars. Forever will he be scarred with our sins. Forever will he have wounds for our healing. That's why I don't understand why people say God doesn't heal anymore. All you got to do is look over at Jesus' back and says, oh, let me heal that, because he still carries those wounds. And they're standing there with him, and he says to them, stay at Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, which you heard of me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And watch what they say to him. They don't ask him to explain the Spirit baptism. They don't ask him what they should do with the Spirit baptism. They said to him, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now think carefully. What they're saying is, we really followed you because we thought that you were going to restore Israel to greatness and defeat the Romans. You did a lot of miracles to show us you had the power to do that. You opted not to do it. You died for sin. But now that you've risen, now that you're about to depart, are you going to put us back in our chief position? What a fleshly question. Are you going to give us back our greatness at this time? Jesus just promises them unlimited access to the throne of God. Jesus just promises them that they will be the first human beings to be filled with the Spirit on a regular basis. And their question is, will you put us back in that Solomon position? It's like God coming to you saying, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to talk with you. I'm going to show you my glory. And you say, God, you're going to fill up my church.
If you believe, for a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
7117A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.